Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party? Have that celebration. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, I'm on. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hey, Shani. I didn't expect to get on. I'm so grateful to be here. What I'm struggling
who,
with...
Who is this?
Oh, yeah, hi. Sorry, I'm so excited. This is Todd, and I'm in Olympia, Washington.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. Wow. Okay. So, ego's doing a number on me these days, and where ego really gets me is convincing me I don't know what I'm doing or I don't know what I'm talking about. And so, for instance, for this month and working on sexuality, I have a lot of little different behavior changes, I guess, I'd like to make or a way I'd like to kind of be living up to kind of who I see myself as, that being that person or I guess just some changes I want to make in my life. And I'm trying really cognizant not to let ego beat me up and try to make it about performance. And but somehow ego just still manages to just confuse me and to get me in a place where it's just like, does any of this stuff really matter? Is this just ego's way of getting me running on a hamster wheel? Or,
that's,
and I don't know.
Ego.
And I know. That's ego. Okay.
So, Todd, you can see why I just beat on that drum constantly of get out of the conversation in your head.
Yes.
Right? Because
yes.
That conversation is always ego. It just is. And it's always attempting what you're describing. It's attempting to get us out of the present and into some kind of interaction with it so that we're attending to it instead of to life in the moment. That's the whole, that's the whole deal. And so does it care if you make behavior changes? No. Does it care who you are? No. It doesn't care anything about you. You are just a source of what it needs, which is the life force that comes with attention. So to engage with it is just a colossal waste of time. And it's a really strong habit, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, we've been doing it all of our lives. And then we realize, wait a minute, I don't think I want to do that. But it's like, you know, you've been addicted to heroin for the last 30 years, and one day you get up and say, you know, I don't think I want to do that anymore. Well, it's gonna be a little harder than that, right? And
yes.
So that's good. That's why we practice. Yeah. So that's good. And so here's my favorite approach to that, okay, which I would offer to you. And that is the voice says, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And your response is, yeah, that's true. Say it with a smile. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I usually don't. Yeah, say it with a smile. Okay? So never allow yourself to be put in any position where you defend yourself. Because if you do, it'll be ego talking to ego, and you'll be left out completely. But if you don't take it on, if you just say, I really don't know what I'm doing, isn't that pine tree gorgeous? Or what about that sky? Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise then it just kind of, if I kind of follow it there, then it becomes more about, like, I really got to figure something out. Like,
right.
Okay, if I can just figure this thing right?
Mm-hmm. That's the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so it's continuing just to, because I remember you said to me one time, it's about going from the specific to the universal. And just like continuing to, instead of making it, trying to figure something out, realizing kind of like the bigger messages or things that I'm supposed to be seeing in this. I know, I get so in my head.
Yeah, and so there we go again. You know, first step onto the hamster wheel. Because there really isn't anything to figure out. There really isn't. And that's why nobody can ever do it. Which is, you know, why that's very popular with ego. Get a person focused, obsessed with doing something that can't be done, and they're going to be busy, occupied, and generating that energy for a long time. So there isn't anything to figure out. All we're trying to do is to get here, right? Just be here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Drop all the conversation, drop all the everything, and just be here. Checking with your senses. Where are you? Where are your feet? What's it look like? What's it smell like? What's it taste like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? Okay. And that's what we're training ourselves to do. Just drop it all, get out of the head, get into the body, come back here.
Okay.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I get there, but then it lasts 30 seconds, and then...
That's right, and then we're off and running again. Yep. You know, I'll tell you this, Todd, you're doing it exactly right. That is the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Take care
of
yourself.
Okay, well, hey, thank you so much. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks for showing you.
Right.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Todd. You know, Sherry, to me, that's the whole scaffolding of this year-long retreat is that it's a process tool to look at the whole, you know, anything, any place where I'm suffering, here is the set of ways in which I can train myself to see it as ego. And then for the last week, to train myself to be in the process of life rather than the process of suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that way that every moment I come here and see it is a moment of celebration. But it's really important, right?
Yeah.
That it takes practice to recognize that coming back in kindness, coming back in gratitude, coming back in appreciation, coming back in celebration is a process that we are cultivating that allows us to come with that attitude of mind regardless of the content, regardless of what ego is doing, right?
Yeah. We're seeing the process, right? And what you're saying about our attitude of mind is everything. That's why the Zen fool is the highest expression. Right, because this is somebody who just kind of grins and goes, "Yeah, I don't know."
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that if we follow the assignment, then there's a way in which, oh, I can't figure it out, is a moment of celebration.
Right,
it doesn't matter.
Oh yay!
Right. Yeah, oh yay! But that's what we really have to train to do, which is to watch what goes on and then. And then, as you said, drop it and do that behavior that is a life-affirming behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate it. Oh, look at it with compassion. Look at it with kindness. Look at it with love, whatever it is, because that's the training of one is the freedom from suffering, but the other is learning to be free.
Yeah, choosing freedom.
Choosing to be free. Yeah, choosing freedom. That's right. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Patty calling from Vancouver.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. I really enjoyed this last conversation because there's some components of that I'm similarly struggling with. It's almost like I have two paths going here in this sexuality. month, and that is that I was saying to myself, this is natural. This is, you know, just and supporting the person who was either in fear or worried about this, or so doing two-handed recordings for her, and just playing with this with my husband about just being in the body, and just feeling what I feel in the body. And so I'm celebrating that, but in the midst of that, ego has really ramped up some self-hating messages and a lot of fear and just a lot of feel in the grips of it.
Yeah, and you know, Patty, to me, the most difficult aspect of that is it's almost impossible for us to see that as good news. Yeah. Even though it is. It is. But it's really difficult for us to get past so much conditioning that says, if you're running into something, if you're running into fear, then you must be doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. You must be, because that can't be the right, but it is the right answer, right? Because what you're doing is challenging ego, and ego is fear. So, you know, you poke ego with a sharp stick, and the reaction is going to be fear. And, of course, we feel those sensations, right? And so it's really a process of learning to realize that, yeah, okay, if ego is getting stirred up, I'm doing my job.
Yeah, and what I need to do is recognize that it's ego and not me and not...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It makes all the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you are experimenting, exploring whatever it is that you're exploring with your husband, and here comes fear. Well, you can step back and say, well, there's no reason for that, right? There is absolutely no reason for that to be happening, except that ego is really threatened. So it's going to hit you with all the things it hits you with to get you back in line. You're going to feel afraid. It's going to make you afraid. It's going to say mean, horrible things to you. And then you will do what we're trained to do, which is hop back in line and do what it tells you. Don't be going outside the lines. But we're going outside the lines. In fact, we're going to find those lines, and we're going to stand there and jump up in that. We're going to dance on them.
Yeah. Well, and it's gotten way bigger than this. Just this content area as well. It's, you know, it's now all kinds of things that,
of course,
that there's judgments about and criticisms about, and
which is why recording and listening is so helpful to us, right? Because you can record about that, you can talk to it. Whoa, ego, you are having a rough time here. So what I hear you projecting there in that judgment is blah, 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 blah. So I guess your experience is blah, 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 blah. Is that right? And you're going to get a lot of quiet when you do that. And, of course, as soon as it can distract you, get your attention on something else, it's going to sneak back in with the next whatever it is. Because usually it works. That's why it does it. That's why it's so tenacious. Because we usually give in. Sooner or later, a person goes, okay, that's enough. Okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And they quit. So ego is really well trained that if it is just obnoxious enough, it'll get its way. It's very much like an extremely spoiled child. You know, I just have to be more and more and more obnoxious, and sooner or later, you're going to let me do what I want to do.
Yeah, because I'm sort of feeling like, oh, I just want to give up. You know, it's that whole ego thing of wearing me down.
That's ego. That's ego talking to ego. Patty's not there.
Yeah.
Okay? Patty's not there. Ego is talking to ego. And so that's where you want to turn it around. What about, what does that mean? You want to give up and do, and what? Die?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I don't think so. And so just what? Choose unconsciousness? Try to live a small enough life that ego isn't threatened?
That's really not where I want to go.
I want to put on my dancing shoes and dance on those ego barriers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
You can do this.
I can do
this. You can do it. And Patty, here's the thing. Yeah. What you might do for fun, should you choose to, is draw some pictures of ego.
Okay.
Yeah. Draw it when it's afraid. Draw it when it's saying hateful, mean things. Draw it when it's trying to control you, when it's trying to grab all the attention for it.
Mm-hmm.
Draw it as a hungry ghost so that you really get a picture of who it is that's talking to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. All right,
Sounds
let me know.
Good.
All right, thanks, Patty.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Patty. Practice recognition I heard in that, Cherry, is that it's a really hard place when ego has us against the ropes, where it's gaining the upper hand. It's so hard because it feels so impossible to find whatever it is, the willingness, the authenticity, the energy to basically push back against it. And what I heard you say is,
well, it sucked all the energy out of us at that point.
That's exactly right. I was just going to agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. So it's got me on the ropes, right? It's been pounding me and pounding me and pounding me and pounding me, and all I want to do is quit because it's taken all the energy. That's what that pounding is. It's pounding the energy out of me and taking it for itself. And that's a really good image, right? Of two boxers. The one who's winning is getting more and more energized, right? The one who's losing is getting more and more defeated. That's exactly our relationship with ego.
Yes. Well, and in that moment, it's so important to not only recognize that place, but to do something like call into a radio show or reach for the recorder, because it takes only one little movement to reclaim the energy. But what conditioning is doing to us is that you don't even have the energy to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's so critical to go up against that resistance and find the smallest gradient of energy to redirect the attention, draw pictures, or pick up the phone and make the call, or get to the recorder. Because as soon as we do, and this is that constant devotion that leads to ever-expanding faith place, well, we know it. That's the training. In that moment, can I find what it takes in order to redirect the attention to the energy source that comes back to me rather than gives it away?
Well,
right?
That's the whole point, isn't it? That's what we're doing with this. We're hanging on long enough that we're trained enough that's our impulse. I mean, even if I'm lying there in a puddle, what's going to drop in is get the recorder. And I'm going to do it because that's my
practice.
Right. That's my training.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Monica.
Hello, Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hello.
Ooh, you've got some birds there.
Oh, yeah, and some buses, and I'm on the streets of San Francisco.
Are the birds louder?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great follow-up to the last conversation you and Shwini were just having. The birds are winning.
Yes.
Yeah, so when I was listening to Ashwini read the assignment, I really just, you know, my initial thing or ego's initial thing is like, oh, I don't like this one. I don't like to celebrate. I've kind of skipped over it every month.
Mm.
And then I really appreciated the idea of like celebrating every moment of coming back to present. Like that can be the celebration, or that is one way to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reframed the whole assignment for me just in that moment, because there's lots of moments when coming back to present is I'm aware of that, or not choosing conditioning, or, you know, not abandoning the present to go out there. And to see that as a celebration
mm-hmm.
is awesome.
It really is, isn't it? That life is a party.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And when we're
yeah.
really present, that's how we feel. It's a party. And I'm still going to make a case for doing something special for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, it can be simple, you know, make her a favorite food. Or take her to her favorite place or whatever it is, and just have a conversation about all that has transpired, right? All the insights and the work and the changes and the commitment and the successes and all of those kinds of things. Just a little review and a congratulations and a well done, and this is great, and I love living with you, and yeah,
like that's great too. Because I think it might be tomorrow, but like the one where we review everything, all our insights, I really like that one, and I
uh-huh.
always do it. But it's like they're actually kind of not the same, but there's a way that celebration can be part of that.
That's right.
You, I don't know. I hadn't thought about, like, there's just a shutdown around celebration, and just having that reframed in this call, I can actually think of ways to celebrate. Whereas before the call, I was like, oh no, I don't celebrate.
I don't
like,
do that. Yeah.
I'm not a party
that.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. And which is big, isn't it? Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are little sober side kids who come in without any desire whatsoever to be happy. God love them. They would be, you know, an argument or a case made for karma, right? But most little kids come in, regardless of their circumstances, ready to be here and present and enjoying, right?
Yeah.
It's true?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's true, yes.
Yeah, it's even in cases, you know, you'll see kids in the hospital and they've got these awful things going on with them, and they have these big smiles on their faces because in this moment somebody has said something or something has happened, and right? And so what happened to her? Now, I'm not talking about you as an adult needing to be a party girl, but what happened to that young person that celebrating, that taking it in, feeling really good about, got taken away from her?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I just want to tell a short story. When I was like, I must have been like 5 or 6 years old, and it was a birthday party, and I hated birthday parties. I mean, I'm sure I came in as someone who wants to celebrate, but I can't remember that
right.
person at all. And
mm-hmm.
the birthday party was like, please don't sing happy birthday to me. Please don't sing happy. We're in a restaurant. I don't want any birthday song. But of course, they did do a birthday song, and I literally was under the table crying because they were singing happy birthday, and I didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that's just been going on for a long time.
So, Monica, you can see there's a two-handed recording in your future with that little person, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because even
yeah,
if it doesn't have
yeah.
to be in a restaurant, but somebody somewhere, she's going to be open to somebody celebrating her existence.
Yeah.
And you're that person.
Yeah. 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 That's another great reframe, because I've always remembered that story as, see, I don't like to celebrate. I've been trying to say I don't like to celebrate, but there is mm-hmm. someone who does, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then something happened to her, and then that little person is under the table, very, very
yeah.
unhappy, and it's time to, yeah, time to get her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Gasha. Thank you, yes, Ashwini. Gasha. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Monica. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. And just the thing that came to mind when you were talking about the two-handed is, so yes, she doesn't want to celebrate, but nobody asked her how she wants to celebrate.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right?
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, what a powerful point.
That's right.
That's kind of so much.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
Well, it's so reflective of the decision process, right? That there's a standard that everybody has to comply with. Celebration mm-hmm. is going to a restaurant and saying happy birthday. But
yeah.
for each of us, there's a certain way which makes us feel alive, and our way
mm-hmm.
of enjoyment, which gets completely shut down. And when we
mm-hmm.
say no, we're overridden, rather than somebody with curiosity and kindness saying, okay, well, this doesn't work for you, but how would you like to do it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that is huge. Mm. Mm. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, I know. I hope
you know.
Yes. So we could squeeze in another caller here, Sherry. So here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin in England here, in Kent.
Well, hello, Colin.
Hello. I just feel that there's been so much to celebrate today. This month, it's been... there's just been so much to see, really, this month, and just very, very, very grateful for that, really. And and one of the things I was seeing today about practice, it's like staring at a white wall in a way. And through this month, I've not been able to sort of pick up clues from people. I've been thrown back on my own projections, I think, and seeing that really clearly this month about what's going on for me about my sexuality, whereas perhaps before I was thinking it's what other people had going on about my sexuality. And that's just been such a great gift for me, really. It's just been amazing.
You know, Colin, just what you started out with, celebrating seeing, right? That's huge, realizing that it's been my projection, our ego's projection, all along, and that's what I thought other people were thinking. I mean, that's huge. But what you said is, it's the process of seeing, it's the insight, the inciting, right, that is what we can celebrate.
Yes, and that's a really brilliant process to be in, and it feels a huge sort of relief and letting go to just sort of see all that stuff and not get caught up in a load of self-hatred about, oh, why was I thinking that? Why was I like that? But to just see it and be able to let it go. You know, in the context of this, you know, the assignments, I think I've been able to do that. It's been really supportive.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Just to be a witness to somebody's process of growing clarity that results in freedom.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
right?
And that,
I mean, that's
sense
what you've been
of,
doing all yeah. month, is watching him have realizations that take him to freedom about things he's been tortured about all of his life.
Yes, and I think with this the sexuality topic, because I know at the beginning of the month there was this thing about, oh, well, I'm too old, and I could have just set that all aside and, you know, gone into the being older and never looked at it, and it would have just completely passed under the radar. And it's mm-hmm. caused me at my time of life now to go back and look at that again, and I think so easily it could have all slipped by, and I never ever would have looked at it, and I've been none the wiser about it at all.
And yet, Colin, I can only guess that even though ostensibly it is in the past, it's still coloring every aspect of your life right on through.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. I would have gone on through my life carrying all this stuff, and had absolutely no idea at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad that's all come out now, and as come into the light of awareness, I suppose. And I could have just been carrying this knot around with me for and never known. So I'm just really mm-hmm. so deeply grateful for this
yeah,
month. This
well,
topic's been really good.
I have one other question for you, because I've never perceived you as an old codger. has your opinion of him changed at all? Are you through new eyes?
Yeah, no, but I've got a new skip in my step. Yeah, and I suppose I've got my sexuality back. You know I've got my sexuality back. So in a different way, but I do it's not something that happened in the past. It's here now, and I'm a kind of a sexual being again. Yeah.
You get to enjoy him in his physicality, right? And all that entails. Yeah. From the garden to whatever else is beautiful in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And having a lot of energy and vitality to put into that. Yeah. So it's just been amazing. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'm very,
very
happy.
Good.
It's very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, you enjoy, okay?
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Colin. And what a lovely way to end a month on this focus, Sherry. So here's our final assignment for this focus. Take some time to make a recording that captures what you've learned from working with this month's focus.
Mm-hmm. And celebrate. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.